Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are studying the Sermon on the Mount in which Jesus explained the nature of the kingdom and the conditions to enter it. And this sermon was concluded by presenting four contrasting images. The first one was that of a door and a road, the narrow door and the broad road. So in our last reflection, we meditated on the nature of this road and door. And we saw that the door stands not at the end of the road, but at the beginning. And that one enters through the narrow door by accepting discipleship, through conversion, through faith and baptism. And by entering into this through the narrow door, one doesn't reach the kingdom proper, one is on the way to the kingdom. Hence, the road stands for the discipleship, carrying the cross. So the road that is hard stands for the discipleship that entails also persecution. So that was the first contrast, the road and the door. Now, today we would like to focus on another concluding remark. That is about bearing fruit. Two types of trees, the trees that bear good fruit and the trees that bear bad fruit. And this tree and fruit is presented as a sign of the true disciple. And here Jesus speaks a warning, gives a warning about the disciples who present themselves as prophets, but they are not. So speaks about the false prophets, false and true prophets. First, I read the passage, and then we can make our reflection on it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will know them by their fruits. So the tree that does not bear good fruits will be cut down and thrown on the fire. That is a warning given by John. That's a warning Jesus is repeating. Now, the question is not about the tree, but about disciples and the prophetic quality of the disciples. Here, Jesus is touching a very sensitive issue. We know the people of God were guided constantly through prophets. In the Old Testament, we have prophets, and then Jesus himself is sending out prophets, and there are prophets all through the history. Prophets are those who speak the word of God. Prophemi means to speak for. Speak for somebody else. That somebody else is God. So prophemi, and from the word prophemi comes from the Greek word prophetes, the one who speaks for, and can also mean speak forth. So speaking out for another person. So he's a spokesperson. The Hebrew word is Nabi, the one who speaks for God. So a prophet is a person who speaks in the name of God, who speaks the word of God. And this is an institution already promised and guaranteed by God through Moses. For example, Moses in his farewell discourse in the book of Deuteronomy is telling the people about this institution. Moses was aware that he will not be leading the people into the promised land, that he was not allowed to enter the promised land. He would die before that. Now the question is, who would lead the people to know the will of God? How are they going to know the will of God? What they should do and what they should not do? The people of the land of Canaan had their own institutions like soothsayers and mediums and all these types of people who claimed to know the will of God and to communicate it. But the people of Israel was not allowed to go to soothsayers and mediums. This is presented in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 15, Moses is telling this. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. So it is not through soothsayers and magicians, but through an authentic prophet that the people of Israel would be given the word of God. Now, Moses is promising, or Moses is giving God's promise, that there will be a prophet always to guide the people in the way of God, to tell them the word of God. But the question is, how can one be sure that the prophet is speaking the true word of God? Or how can we distinguish a true prophet from a false prophet? Is it not possible that a person comes and speaks his own word, his own imaginations, and teaching his own doctrines, rather than telling God's word? How are they to distinguish it? Here comes the need of a criterion. Now, in Deuteronomy 18, 19 and 20 we have, anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. So here is the provision that there may be false prophets, prophets who are not sent by God. Verse 21, you may say to yourself, how can we recognize a word that the Lord has not spoken? If a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, but the thing does not take place or prove true, it is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Do not be frightened by it. So the criterion here presented is the fulfillment of the prophecy. If a prophet promises something and if that takes place, well, you should know that he is a true prophet. And if a prophet prophesies something and that does not take place, then he is a false prophet. It's a very simple criterion, but may not be valid always. Because there are possibilities. There are times when a prophet speaks something, threats, pronounces a threat of punishment. And the threat of punishment is meant to lead the people to conversion. And if the people are converted, people change their mind and change their ways at the preaching of the prophet, then God will not punish. So the threat of a punishment cannot be taken as true or false from the fact of fulfillment. So this problem was there when Jeremiah was confronted by hundreds of prophets, especially the prophets who were officially recognized as the spokespersons of God. Hananiah, for example. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 26 to 28, present this picture of conflict between true and false prophets. Also in chapter 23, we have this conflict between false and true prophets. How are we to recognize a true prophet from a false prophet? Because there were hundreds of them speaking in the name of God, and Jeremiah was alone. And both were claiming to be speaking God's word. How are we to distinguish? How are we to know what is God's word and what is not? Now, Jeremiah is formulating a criterion in chapter 28, verses 8 and 9. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. So Jeremiah is making a distinction in the prophecy itself. If a prophet is prophesying doom, disaster, punishment, well, that prophet has a greater possibility or probability of being an authentic prophet even when his prophecies are not fulfilled. So the fulfillment of prophecy cannot be taken as an absolute criterion. On the other hand, if a prophet is promising peace, prosperity, then that prophet can be understood, accepted as an authentic prophet only when that prophecy is fulfilled. So the criterion of the fulfillment of prophecy is to be distinguished. And even when a prophecy is fulfilled, still there could be a danger that the one who prophesied is a false prophet. And here we come across the third criterion in the Old Testament about an authentic prophet. And that is found in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13. If prophets or those who divine by dreams appear among you and promise you omens and portents, and the omens or the portents declared by them take place, and they say, let us follow other gods whom you have not known, and let us save them, you must not heed the words of those prophets or those who divine by dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you indeed love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. So here the criterion is again distinguished. Even if the prophecies are fulfilled, all that the prophet promises come true, even then there is a danger that this is a false prophet. And how are we to know it? If that prophet is telling you something that is against your traditional faith, if that prophet is inciting you, inviting you to follow gods whom you have not known, follow doctrines which are against the traditional teaching you have received. So the authenticity of doctrine, fidelity to God, is the ultimate criterion of a true prophet according to the Old Testament. So unless a prophet is authentic in his teaching, and unless his teaching is in accordance with the traditional faith of the community, that prophet should not be accepted, the authenticity of prophecy, of teaching. So this is the ultimate criterion in the Old Testament. And Jesus, at the end of his sermon, is adding or further clarifying this criterion. And that criterion, Jesus tells, is the fruit. The fruit that is visible in the life of the prophet. And what is the fruit? It is his own life, his own vision of life, his own style of life, what he does. Is there a correspondence between his word and his deed, between his teaching and his life? And if there is not, then there is all probability that he is a false prophet. And false prophets were a curse, a constant threat to the people of Israel, as well as to the people of God, the new Israel, the church. Jesus himself had given warnings about false Christs and false prophets coming and misleading people even with signs and portents. All the apostles had the experience of false prophets and they had given sufficient warning. For example, Paul, speaking to the leaders of the church of Ephesus who were called to Miletus, and in his farewell discourse, Paul is telling the leaders in book of Acts chapter 20 verse 29, I know that after I have gone, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Some even from your own group will come distorting the truth in order to entice the disciples to follow them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to warn everyone with tears. So Paul is urgently commanding the disciples, commanding the elders to be on their watch against false prophets, whom he calls ravenous wolves. He is giving the same warning to Timothy in his first letter. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will renounce the faith by paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared with hot iron. False prophets leading people astray. In the letter to Titus, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for sordid gain what is not right to teach. False teachers and false prophets coming, misleading the people. Again, in the second letter of Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive opinions. They will even deny the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Always the teaching is at the center, bringing false teaching, leading people away from Christ, the true doctrine. In the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, we read, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. So the apostles are giving constant warning about the false prophets. And Paul is giving a criterion to distinguish the false prophets. In the letter to the Galatians, chapter 1, verse 8, But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaimed to you, let that one be cursed. A person who propagates false teachings, a teaching that is not in correspondence with the teaching of Christ and of the authentic, authoritative teaching of the church, is to be considered a false prophet. Now, Jesus again warns us about the fruit. A good tree cannot bear false or bad fruits, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruits. So what are the fruits that a true prophet or a true disciple has to bear? Again, Paul comes to our aid to understand these fruits. Jesus had already spoken several times about his disciples going out and bearing fruit. I have chosen you, you have not chosen me. It is I who have chosen you and have sent out that you may go out and bear good fruits, and your fruits may remain. By the fact that you bear good fruits, my Father will be glorified. So he is speaking about fruits. So what exactly are these fruits? In the letter to Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22, we have a list of fruits. It's called the fruits of the Spirit, and there Paul is mentioning 9 of them. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And these are the fruits Jesus is speaking about. And these are the fruits that Jesus presents as the criterion, the authentic criterion of true prophecy. So if the prophet, if the disciple who claims or who preaches as a prophet has love, loves, and if he is preaching, is bringing about love, union in the church, the community, if that preaching gives you joy, not a pleasure, passing pleasure, but a lasting inner joy, that peace, shalom, a peace between God and man, peace in the community, peace in your conscience, peace in your mind, patience in hardships enables you to bear the cross, to follow Jesus carrying the cross. If it makes you kind to others, when it gives you a heart filled with compassion and generosity where you are willing to share with others, those who are in need, everything that you don't grab, you don't accumulate, but you generously share. Faithfulness or fidelity to God and to neighbor. Fidelity to your commitment to Christ. Gentleness and self-control. So if the prophet's preaching, proclamations, teaching brings these fruits, okay, then he is an authentic prophet. If not, if he is causing division, if he is accumulating wealth and calling you to be self-centered, then there is a great danger that the prophet is a false prophet, not sent by Christ, not sent by God. There is a tragic possibility that the one who presents himself as prophet may be genuinely misguided. What this person says, he or she might be believing to be genuinely God's word. And the interpretation of the scriptures, the interpretation of the word of God, could be given as genuinely God's word is misunderstood. The person can really misunderstand the word of God and be of the impression that he is preaching the true doctrine and leading the people to true peace and salvation. But it could be just the other way. Presenting one's own imaginations, presenting one's own perceptions as God's word. And there is this great danger even today. Many people who preach the word of God think they are preaching God's word, but preaching their own word. And that is the danger Jesus is pointing to. And this has been a great danger in the church, among the disciples, and that is the reason we have now thousands and thousands of churches, not just one holy, apostolic, and Catholic church. So the false prophets are a great danger, and people are warned seriously about them. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to show us the way to salvation, to give us your word, the true, authentic word that gives us life. Thank you for giving us also the criteria to distinguish your word from the devil's word, to understand truth from falsehood. Enable us always to listen to your true word. Send us authentic prophets. Send us your Spirit to illumine our hearts and minds to understand and to follow your Son all through our lives. We make this prayer through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.